In the Elite Eight. Juzan gets it in, gets it back, and he puts it in! What a play! And now the officials will stop the clock.
You had to be up really late on Friday night, early Saturday morning to see the end of the Houston-Purdue game. But I think of all of the basketball I've watched since we last did a show, that was a compelling watch. It wasn't pretty. You had two gritty teams, two well-coached teams going toe-to-toe. Purdue was up two at halftime. Houston came back and at one point, I think, led by 10 in the second half. Purdue battled back. They tied it on a three from the corner from Camden Heidi with about 30-something seconds left. Houston held for the last shot, Denton, and they ended up having an offensive rebound basically go out of bounds, and they had a possession of it with 2.8 seconds to go, and that was a play that Kelvin Sampson set up where the inbounder threw it in, jumped in bounds, it came right back to him, and he laid it in with 0.8. So bad job by Purdue defending it, but Purdue got royally reamed down the stretch in this game. There were two out-of-bounds calls before you could check on the monitor, so it was just over 2 minutes to go, that were clearly off Houston that cost Purdue possessions and points. And then on that final possession, there was a clear offensive foul. And people might say, well, you can't call it there. It was a clear extension of the arm by, I think it may have been Cryer, I forget now, and they didn't call it, and Houston maintained possession and won the game 62-60. And then they were awesome yesterday, destroying Tennessee, holding Tennessee to 15 first-half points. I love that team, and I love watching that team right now. I think they're going to win the whole thing next weekend. I think they're going to beat Duke, and then I think they're going to beat either Florida or Auburn. That's why I wanted you to come back with the Houston highlight, because I think they're the best all-around team left in the draw. I like Duke a lot. I like Florida a lot. Auburn has played better here recently. But to me, Houston's combined all-around team is grown men that are going to physically beat up whoever they play over the final two games. Similar to what Baylor did the year they won it.
I hope it's Houston. That's my champion. So that would make me a lot of money, and that would win a couple of brackets for probably the first time in my life. My only fear is that Duke is a literal buzzsaw right now. You know, we kind of thought that like Florida was going to be this buzzsaw when we were coming into the tournament, and they've been really, really good, obviously. But Duke has been just legitimately steamrolling everybody else. To your point, they haven't played a team like Houston. Certainly not in the NCAA tournament. Like, you look at some of the teams they have played, nobody's as physical as Houston.
Nope.
The difference in physicality between, like, a Bama and a Houston is as wide as the Grand Canyon. Like, Houston is going to get up in there, and they're going to make life really tough for some of the shooters on Duke's roster and Cooper Flagg. It's just, man, Duke is so loaded. And once they had that stretch against Bama, where the big guy from PVI, right? They got two PVI players. They got the shooter. They got the big guy.
Yeah,
when the big guy comes in and he starts facilitating, I was just like,
big guy didn't even play at the end of the
dude,
year.
Dude, this is not fair. And he's just getting in here and he's dishing out assists. They're so, so loaded. And they play such good defense. That game is going to, I think that's going to be the real headbanger. Auburn and Florida, I think, will be a good one. But Duke and Houston is going to be, I think, the game of the
week. That is the nightcap, right? I'm assuming they put that in the nightcap.
Yeah,
there's no way
Duke is not a nightcap.
Yeah, of course. Just going back to Friday and some of the Sweet 16 games, the Michigan State-Ole Miss game was outstanding. And I really, during the course of this tournament, really fell in love with that guy, Sean Padula, the Ole Miss point guard. What a competitor. What a tough-ass point guard he is. And they had a chance to win that game. That was a really high-quality basketball game. Ole Miss certainly had opportunities in that game. You know, moved to Saturday, the Elite Eight games, and Texas Tech missing two front ends, a one-and-one. ones. I mean, they had a big lead and Florida came roaring back. You know, they didn't need Walter Clayton Jr. against Maryland. You know, they were just flat out better than Maryland that night. You know, Selton Miguel didn't make a shot. There were a lot of Terps didn't play great, but Florida was better. They didn't even need their star player to do it. Well, they needed Walter Clayton Jr. on Saturday, and they roared back from a big deficit. They actually nearly covered, you know that, right? I actually gave out three winners this weekend, no losers. I had Ole Miss. Did you see the way Ole Miss covered against Michigan State?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah. I had basically a 30-footer that was off. It was deep, and it hit. It was one of those shots that hit the rim, hit the back, connector to the backboard of the rim and just died on it and then fell through. For the cover at the buzzer, and then I had Auburn on Friday night, and then I had Duke on Saturday against Bama. But the Florida, so I'm 12-9-1, just FYI, in the tournament smell test, so chance that we're going to have another winning year with the picks. But we got more games to go. I actually liked both unders yesterday. They both hit. But I actually personally played Texas Tech against Florida, and they were the right side the entire side. They did end up covering, but they were, you know, they were up at one point with, 10 minutes to go, 10, 11, something like that. Hell of a basketball game between Texas Tech and Florida, and a great job by Walter Clayton Jr. And then the games yesterday, what Houston, well, first of all, the nightcap Saturday night, I personally do not want Nate Oates. I don't think Nate Oates would ever come to Maryland. His buyout's too high. He gets paid too much money. I mean, Bama's just flush. I know a lot of Maryland people would like Nate Oates. Has he ever had a good defensive team at Bama, like a really good defensive team?
I don't know that he's had a good defensive team anywhere that he's coached.
So what they do with analytics and offense, I'm for it. I mean, they shot 51 threes in their Sweet 16 win, made 25, a record for the tournament. They were 8 of 32 against Duke and got absolutely punked. They could not stop Duke. Duke shot like 54% from the floor, 47% or something like that from behind the arc. Cooper Flagg, you know, fine. It was like 16 and 10 or something like that. They got a lot of options, Duke does. And then to me yesterday, just watching what Houston did to Tennessee in the first half was awesome. And I said earlier, the Auburn-Michigan State game was never like close enough for it to be a memorable game. But I thought both teams executed on both ends of the floor at a really high level. And the bottom line was Houston made more shots and Duke and Michigan State couldn't. They were both relentless on the glass. They both shared the ball. The teams didn't turn it over much. I'm looking at turnovers right now just to see if I'm right about that. Yeah, Auburn had 6. Michigan State had 9. Great turnover numbers. It's just a high-level, incredibly well-coached game between Auburn and Michigan State. And Auburn had Jahni Broome, who was the best player on the floor in that game. It was a great game. Just not a competitive game, like down to the wire. Auburn got it together in this tournament, Denton. They were not playing well at the end of the season. They lost 3 or 4 out of their last 5, was it? Something like that. And they were not playing well at the end of the season, but they got it together, and the matchups are good ones, man. Houston, Duke. I'm calling Houston right now to cut down the nets a week from tonight. In terms of Auburn, Florida, I think I like Florida. What did Florida do against Auburn this year? Didn't they crush Auburn at Auburn?
They beat them by 9. They beat them 90-81.
Right.
And that's the only time those two teams have played.
Because they didn't meet in the SEC tournament because Auburn got beat by Tennessee.
Yeah, Ole Miss they lost by like Tennessee. That. They beat Ole Miss, lost to Tennessee.
There.
It's just one of the weird matchups where you play a lot of the SEC teams twice, and those two teams just happen to not play twice during the regular season.
But Florida went to Auburn when Auburn was number one in the country and beat them up pretty good. Like you just said, 90-81. My memory is that game was never really close. Am I right about? Yeah, they had a 17-point lead. They had a 21-point lead in the second half of that game at Auburn,
and that was when
game
Auburn
ended up being 9. It was close to 9 at the end. That was the closest it was at any point in the second half was the final score.
that broke Auburn's 13-game win streak at the time.
Yeah. Good Final Four games, right? I mean, four number ones.
This is what you want. Like, I know people have been all up in arms because we didn't have any upsets. These have been the best games that you could ask for. I mean, Houston-Tennessee just was boring because Tennessee decided to think that they were Alabama and wanted to shoot again. But outside of that, the matchups, these have been the best matchups that you could ask for. I obviously, like, getting all number ones is a very rare occasion, but these teams are clearly the best teams.
I was really rooting for Michigan State. I wanted to see Izzo back in the Final Four, and I think Michigan State would have had a chance against Florida and to be in the title game against Houston or Duke. But Auburn, you know, won the game with an incredible moment. Jahni Broome coming out of the locker room after a shoulder injury. First time he touches it, he knocks down a three. God, he is a smooth player. He's such a methodical player, though. You know, like he's very strong. He's got great hands. He's got great feel. He's got great touch. He defends hard, but there's a style with him that looks, you know, he's like the big man's version of like DeMar DeRozan. Like, he just plays in slow motion, don't you think?
I mean,
do you know what I'm saying?
I definitely get. I do get what you're saying. I think, you know, Jokic also does that, but him and Jokic are not the same. DeMar DeRozan is just a funny compare. I did not think we were going to be mentioning DeMar DeRozan.
Well, because he's not the same position, but DeMar DeRozan is about as, sorry, it's impossible for you, whatever you're doing defensively, to make me go any faster than I want to go. You know, Kawhi Leonard's that way. You know, it doesn't matter what you do defensively, I'm not going to speed up. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to get to my spot. And they're just brilliant at doing that. You know, there's never any hurry, ever. I love that about him. And he's a lefty, and it looks pretty, you know, when he shoots. What was he yesterday? Did he miss? 10 of 13 from the floor.
While injured, too, which is crazy.
Huh? While injured. 25 and 14. He went for, I'll tell you, the freshman Pettiford, man, that dude is fearless. Jersey City, all over him. All right, well, it's a good Final Four. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We'll finish it up with where we started. Maryland, Kevin Willard is gone. My pitch is and was, and I talked about this Friday afternoon as well, look, what's done is done. You know, smart businesses learn from what happened and then start coming up with solutions. And I think Kevin may have created a better situation for the next coach. I'm not saying he did it intentionally. Trust me, he didn't. But because of what the school kind of recognized along the way, that there was some blame to share in along the way, the next coach may have it better. The exit was messy. There's lots to eviscerate Kevin Willard for. I'm curious as to what you want done next. I talked about it as being a look-in-the-mirror moment for Maryland. And by the way, I think they started to look in the mirror a lot, you know, over the last week to 10 days. And there are a lot of people out there that have wanted others to look in the mirror over the last 10 years. But hopefully they're in a new spot. Who do you want as the coach? The pickings this time of year, because of the timing, aren't great. But give me who you would love to see as the next head coach. I'll give you a couple of names. Denton will give you a couple of names. But we'll open it up for phone calls at 301-230-0980. You can also vent if you'd like. Have at it. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the team980.com.
As Kevin mentioned, Kevin Willard is gone. He left the Terps early Sunday morning to become the new head coach at Villanova. The Terps are now in a very tough spot without a men's basketball coach and an athletic director. Nats got their first win of the season on Sunday, 5-win over the Phillies. Mitchell Parker pitched 6 1/3, struck out 5 on 7 hits. Alex Ovechkin now 5 away from breaking Wayne Gretzky's record. He scored 890 against the Sabres on Sunday. The Caps, however, fell 8-5. They're now 3 points behind the Jets for the most points in the NHL. The Final Four is set in the men's NCAA tournament for the first time since 08. All four number one seeds reach the Final Four. You get Auburn, Florida to start off Saturday. You get Duke and Houston as the nightcap. Local hoops, Gonzaga head coach Steve Turner is leaving after 26 seasons to take the head job at Mount Vernon Academy in Florida. Wizards in action tonight. They tip at 7 on the Team 980. And that's what's trending.